Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons Family Matters podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up. Hey, everyone. So I think most of us would probably say the hardest days as parents are the ones where we just lose it. And we've all had those days. Today, I'm with Jennifer Gillette, and she's going to talk to us about those bad days, and she's going to help us wrangle them. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. So let's start at the beginning. You are the founder of the TLC Center, TLC standing for the Loved Child. Can you tell us a little bit about that and about your philosophy?
Sure. So I founded TLC about 4 years ago. Some people call it the Love Child or the TLC Family Center, and we're located in Belmont, right outside of Boston. And what we're best known for are our play and parenting classes, where parents come in with their little ones every week, and there's a developmental focus. And what makes these classes unique is there's also a parent topic every week for the parents.
Let's actually make our audience feel a little bit better here. What are typical parent struggles?
Well, there's everything from, you know, getting out the door in the morning to go to work, to temper tantrums, to some folks call them aggressive behaviors. I call them hurting behaviors. There's toilet training. There's how do you prepare dinner with children down, you know, by your feet. So any typical area of parenting, TLC is there to support and to educate.
Okay, well, let's talk practical strategies here. Tell me about peaceful parenting.
Peaceful parenting approach is comprised of three components. The first one is about, before reacting, self-regulating. Before you interact with your child, it can be very helpful to be mindful of your own inner state. This is based on the work of Dr. Laura Markham, who wrote Peaceful Parents, Happy Kids. She recommends that you touch base with yourself before you engage your child in correction. But then the second component that I like to share with families with young children is to also practice in anger management. So what do you do in that moment? Because let's all admit it, as I am a mother of two myself, we can feel very angry at times. But what can we do when we are triggered? So what I recommend is to just stop, hit that pause button, and take a deep breath. Maybe you'll have to take 5 deep breaths.
Yeah.
Some of us might even, and I know as ridiculous as this sounds, might even have to do something quite physical to calm our bodies down. Do 10 jumping jacks right there. That will not only diffuse your anger, but also bring a little humor into the moment. Remind yourself that it isn't an emergency. Shake that tension out of your body. Be committed to special time every day, literally spending 10 minutes sitting on the floor playing with your little one, making that eye contact, mm-hmm. making that physical contact, and you're feeding the meter, if you will. You spend that time connecting. When you have those struggles, those moments are going to really help. You can even remind your child.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is to really focus on our listening skills. One of the first things that you can do in those hot button moments is to acknowledge your child's feelings. You feel, I see you are really angry right now. That alone can really diffuse the moment. The other thing I strongly recommend is to go along and have some fun. You wish that you could stay home this morning and watch TV for 10,000 hours. a fun statement like that that is obviously not realistic will very much diffuse the moment. And then the last thing I want to bring up before we get to those real life moments of struggle is to offer choices for our children. And what do I mean by that? I mean, we're the parents, we're going to offer two choices that we're going to be very pleased with the outcome. So for example, do you want to wear the green shirt or the blue shirt? Not what do you want to wear today?
Right. I love all these strategies. I'm picturing myself in the morning. I have a meeting at 10 o'clock. I'm trying to get out the door. I've got two kids running in two different directions, and I see the clock tick, 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 tick. I feel the foot tapping of my boss waiting for me to get to that meeting, and I feel like it is an emergency and I'm not making any progress. What do I do?
Great. Great question, and I think there's a lot of listeners that are probably feeling exactly the same way. And one of the things that this method, this way of parenting, we do not need to be perfect. It's okay if we make mistakes. And the children can learn so much from the way that we resolve our parenting errors. So that's important to recognize. But yeah, there are some tricks of the trade getting out early in the morning. The first thing I recommend, and I'm sure you know you've already heard about it, make sure that you are taking care of yourself and that you're getting to bed early enough so that when you're waking up in the morning, you feel refreshed. So there you are, you're taking care of yourself first. Build in extra time. So I strongly recommend for my busy parents that they get out of bed at least 30 minutes before their children wake up. Now that might be they want to make themselves a cup of coffee and read the paper, or maybe they want to fit in some exercise time. What's important is that your cup is full before you go in and you wake up your children for a busy day. Obviously, it's very helpful that things are prepared the night before. So for example, those backpacks are full, lunches are already made. I love this advice. Your little ones can already, imagine this, be dressed in their clothes for the next day. Well, why not?
When you put them to bed?
You bet. Why not? They've already had their bath perhaps before bedtime. You've already given them a choice. Do you want to wear that green dress today or that blue one? And they can go to bed in their clothes for the next day.
I'm thinking I'm going to go to bed in my clothes.
You can do that too if you want. Joking aside though, I do strongly recommend that you build in time in your morning routine to connect with your child. If you put in that little extra time, and I'm talking 3 minutes of snuggle or reading a book before you race out the door, you are again filling up that emotional bank. Mm-hmm. And so that you're feeding the meter. The last thing I want to strongly recommend with those morning routines is as much as possible, have your house set up so that your children can prepare themselves independently. Mm-hmm. So what do I mean by that? I mean by having hooks that are at eye level so that they can get their own coats down. Have shoes that they can independently put on. The more that your child can be in charge of his or her body, the less power struggles, hopefully, you're going to see during that stressful time in the morning.
My question is always, so inevitably, they throw a curve at us. And when things go awry, so you talked about tantrums earlier being one of the other things. That,
yes.
So tantrums, I would imagine, happen during that morning routine.
Yes.
What do you do when you've carefully planned all this and it's yes. just not going the way you were
yeah.
hoping?
I hear you. One of the things that you want to make sure that you do is you build in extra time for mishaps. And mishaps might be you just poured the coffee down your silk shirt, but also tantrums, Just like herding behaviors, so a squabble between a sibling, these are typical behaviors. So it's quite likely that you could see a tantrum in the morning. To handle those struggles best is that you want to have that extra time built in. So maybe you're going to get those kids up 15 minutes earlier to build in for the time of the spilled coffee or the tantrum. Now, maybe you want to know literally what do you do in that moment of a tantrum. Once a child has gone into the tunnel of a tantrum, you need to let them get out the other side. Mm-hmm. This is not a time that you, again, are going to shame your child or leave your child be. Some children, it helps just to be near them. Some children, the last thing they want to do is to have anybody touching or to be near their bodies. So you can then very gently, after you've taken that deep breath, let your little one know when he or she is ready, mommy's in the kitchen. And you can come get mommy when you're feeling better. So you do have that choice. If you still have things that need to be done, what's important to me is that you let your child know that you are with them. Maybe you're not physically with them, mm-hmm. but you are with them during this challenge.
What about if the tantrum doesn't take place at home? Because we've all been there. That is so hard when you're in a public place and yeah. your child is having one of those tantrums. What do we do then?
Yeah, you're bringing back a challenging moment. And here, this is supposed to be my expertise. And I remember I'm a mom of now a 13 and a 15-year-old. And I remember being in the toy aisle in Target and having two boys down on their backs, kicking their legs. I got down right there on the floor and just sat with them. And I told myself as I was taking deep breaths, I am not going to see these people again in this store. You know, I want to say this, that this method of peaceful parenting, it perhaps feels initially that you're putting in more work, right? That moment sitting on the floor in Target, maybe it would have been easier if I just gave in and gave my little one exactly what he wanted. But I truly believe putting in that extra time in that moment, in the long run, is much more productive and truly builds a lifelong connection.
I think the hardest thing for a lot of us is the moment that we don't respond quite so orderly, when we do actually give in to our mm-hmm. inner emotions and get angry.
Yes.
What do we do then? And then how do we forgive ourselves? Because those are the two, I think the two emotions that come up for both of us.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I mean, one of my major roles in my profession is to help parents. We already are holding so much guilt that I think that one of the things that I can do is let them know that we've all been there, and that's what can be very helpful. But being part of perhaps a parenting group, that the parents around that circle also are feeling very much the way that you're feeling. So be gentle with yourself. Take good care of yourself. And as I said earlier, parenting does not need perfection. What we need to do is to show our children that mistakes are part of life, mm-hmm. and that we can say that we're sorry. One little tip is in those moments, those I call them charged moments, mm-hmm. all that passion and energy, it's not a great time for learning, right? Our ears aren't really open. Our bodies, often we're in that fight and flight or flight response. That's not the moment, perhaps, to connect. But it's never too late. Children can remember that moment in Target. We can talk about it later in the day during an uncharged moment when we're cuddled up on the couch. So for example, gosh, I was feeling so angry when we were in Target this morning. I'm really sorry that I used that voice. What I should have said was, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. And what a great gift to give our little ones.
And I also think it's a reminder that when we're on the other side of the target experience, to show some compassion for poor mom. Whenever I see a mom in that situation, I'm always feeling bad for her because we've all been there.
Yeah, that's so kind.
Well, I think more people feel that way than we believe when we're the one trying to get a child through a tantrum.
Yes.
At least
yes.
I like to think that.
Yes.
Well, let's go to the other end of the parents' day, because we're much more time sensitive and emotionally charged in the morning when you're trying to get out the door. Obviously, we want to get our kids to bed, but there's a different clock ticking then. So we have a number of things we have to accomplish once we're home, which is mom probably needs to disengage from work. Dinner has to get on the table, baths have to be taken, pajamas have to be put on, books have to be read. How do we deal with that?
Sure. Well, gosh, just listening to everything that you're listing, it's making my stomach turn, again, just thinking about the end of today with my own children and family. So point being there is, again, to accept that leaving in the morning, dinner time, bedtime, these are challenging moments for all families, and especially families where the parents are working outside of the home. So first, I just want to normalize. But just as challenging as those moments can be, they can also be really lovely moments. Mm-hmm. So to look through a positive lens, there's been a lot of focus recently on the importance of dinner time and sitting down together at the end of the day to reflect and to talk about what happened. You might think, oh my gosh, I've got to put down my work bag, hang up my coat, and rush into the kitchen. No. How about this? Let's feed the meter again, that emotional meter. Let's sit down as a family. I'm not talking half an hour. I'm talking a couple minutes and connecting before you begin the dinner process. Now, after that moment of connection, my hunch is that that moment of preparing dinner is going to go a little bit better. Some of us enjoy pouring ourselves a glass of wine and making dinner without the children. Mm-hmm. Some of us truly believe in involving the little ones in the meal. Either way is fine. Whatever works best for your family. If you're not going to have your little ones involved in helping make dinner, how about having something for the little ones to do in the kitchen so that you can be together after a long day of separation? So, getting out a clear container, maybe one of those bins that fits under your bed, and have in that bin some rice or some dry pasta or even some sand. Put in some mixing cups, some wooden spoons, and while you're preparing dinner, your little ones can be busy preparing their pretend dinner. Mm-hmm. Make mealtime during the week, those working nights, very, very simple. Mm-hmm. Think maybe ahead over the weekends, having some things already prepared to decrease, to diffuse that stress. The goal is to make this a very pleasant experience. One of the things that I like to do is to think practically. Yes, how great would that be is that we sit down 7 nights a week and we have dinner together after a busy day? You know what? That might just not be practical. Mm-hmm. Set smaller goals. What about starting out thinking about Sunday breakfast or Sunday brunch, and then over time building up to maybe 3 nights a week sitting down and having a family dinner.
Well, and I love the idea that you're creating it to fit your family, because I think people think of family dinners as one thing. Mm-hmm. It's all supposed to be the same for everybody, and it's only successful if it looks a certain way, whatever that is in your head. And you're saying there are lots of different ways to create a family dinner that can be cataloged as successful.
You bet.
I love that. I also love the idea that it's not necessarily an every night thing, because you're setting yourself up for success. If you start saying we're going to do it 7 days and you only do it five, you failed. But if you start at three and you do four, you're a great success.
Exactly. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, if you can get your little people to sit at the table for 3 minutes and there's the beginning, middle, and end to that meal. And, you know, I mean by that a moment of thanks or a moment of reflection, eating our meal, and then we're all done. Thank you. And perhaps even asking the child to bring the dish over to the sink. That is a success.
Mm-hmm.
And then to build on those successes.
Yeah, no, that I think that a lot of people will really appreciate the spectrum that the family dinner exists on. So now we're moving along and we need to get them into bed.
We do. We do. And we need to get to bed.
Mm.
Remember, that is one of the pieces of peaceful parenting that's so important, is taking care of ourselves. The mealtime is over and it's now time for that bedtime routine. And whoa, this can be a time of the day that is extremely stressful for families, children of all ages. And why is this time so stressful? And I'd like to perhaps suggest that what might be going through our children's minds is that we yet again have another moment of separation coming up. And when we are anticipating this moment of separation, we are going to do whatever we can. We're going to dig our heels in and stall this time of separation. So our children can be very clever as we're getting close to bedtime. Don't be surprised. I want to normalize that this can be the time of day that you're going to see more of those tantrums that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You will perhaps see hurting behaviors, not only between the children, but maybe even acted out towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And I strongly suggest that before bedtime, that you build in another time of connection after dinner time. So after all those dishes are done, to build in some quiet time, that you are connecting with your little one before this moment of separation. I would recommend strongly that you don't, just to be dramatic, rip your child away from that quiet time, that you start to give your child warnings about this upcoming transition. Mm-hmm. Now, for little ones, you might just use your fingers and show a little bit of time, so bringing your fingers close together. There's a little bit of time before we go upstairs. Now, obviously, with older children, you can even say, just a reminder, there's 10 more minutes before we're going upstairs. You can use your smartphone and set the timer, letting your little one know that when that timer goes off, it's time to go up. Getting the little ones up into the bedroom area, the bathroom area, be clever, be fun. Think of, hey, how can I get little Sam upstairs? Sam, do you want to pretend that you're a helicopter, or do you want to pretend that you're an airplane? That's so much more fun than dragging your little one up the stairs, right?
Sure.
So sit down with your co-parent. Come up with some very clever choices that you can use at bedtime. The goofier, the better. Acknowledge their feelings of frustration. Sometimes it's really hard to go upstairs and go to bed. Sometimes it's scary to be alone in the dark. That can really help when a parent says exactly what the child is feeling. And then practice this bedtime routine during uncharged moments with puppets, mm-hmm. with stuffed animals, not at bedtime. Practice that on a Saturday morning. How are we going to go to bed tonight? And have buy-in with your child. Have your child, how should the bedtime bedtime routine look? And my, the best advice ever I ever got around this is build in to the bedtime routine that one more time of checking in, right?
Yep.
The one more sip of water, the one more time to go pee. Build that into your bedtime routine, because once you have read the two books, not the three books, the two books. Once you have done the three kisses, not the four kisses, and once you have read, sang that song that you always sing every night before you turn off the lights, you're not gonna go back in. And that can be really, really challenging. So it does help to practice.
Yeah, put that bookend on it.
You bet. You bet.
Just out of curiosity, do you have a bedtime family song that you can share?
Well, I can share it. I am not shy about this. It's time to go to sleep. It's time to go to sleep.
If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcast by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.